I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms tonight, 104, please, Psalms 104. And we'll continue on as we walk through the Psalms. That's what I labeled this. I started years ago. And what I meant by that was we'll just move as God moves us and preach Amen. What God bids us to preach as we read through here. Psalms 104. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1 tonight. And the psalmist said, Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty,
Amen.
Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain,
Amen.
Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot,
Amen.
Who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains.
Amen.
At thy rebuke they fled. The voice of thy thunder they hasted away. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's bow to pray and ask God's help. Our Heavenly Father, I'm certainly thankful for the privilege that's ours tonight to assemble back in the house of God, to be able to sing, fellowship, to be able, Lord, to do our best to communicate with God and get through our hearts that's spiritually what we need to sustain us in these last days. I pray for every home that's here tonight that you'd bless them and help them, you'd encourage and strengthen them. I pray for our church body, Lord, that you'd bless us. Keep us healthy, I pray, both spiritually and physically. I pray tonight for power to preach the Word of God. May it fall upon good ground, bring forth fruit unto thee. And everything that's said and done, may souls be saved. May Christ's precious name be magnified above all others, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, the psalmist begins here in verse number 1, again with the term, Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
And we're looking for reasons in this psalm why the psalmist again uses that term, Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
And then he commends the Lord a great deal. He said, Thou art very great. I think we could all say amen to that. We serve a great God. Great is our God, and great is His faithfulness. We serve a great God tonight. Great in grace and love and mercy to us fallen sinners. Then He says, Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. How wonderful that is. God's clothes is made up of honor and majesty. I thought this evening I was meditating on that, and I thought we'll never see God naked. And I'm not talking about naked as nakedness as we know it. But God sees you and I. God's able to see through us, in other words. He knows what is in man.
Amen.
We'll never be able to see through God and know what is in God. For He's clothed in honor. And He's clothed in majesty. And that He's clothed and it covers that nakedness. Then He said in verse number 2, Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. Now, I want to preach for a little while out of that verse tonight, if God will help me. And I'll need your attention now. But I want to preach for a little bit out of that verse tonight as God directs us in this hour on the thought of the vesture of God's revelation.
Amen.
The vesture, God's garment. God's garment of revelation. God's vesture of revelation. He says, Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. I think we'd all have to agree that that garment could be God's vesture, God's clothing.
Amen.
And so He is clothed in light, or He is clothed with light. Now, the garment of light that's mentioned here in our text is not that inapproachable light referred to by Paul in 1 Timothy 6:16. God, there is a light that no man can approach unto.
Amen.
The Bible said in Psalm number 5, David said, Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may be blessed in thy court. But there is a light that no man can approach unto. But I'm glad to say tonight that this is not that light that no man can approach unto that the psalmist is here referring to. The light here is the revealing light, which daily shines upon you and I as God's children, through which God unfolds to us glimpses of His glory. I'm so glad for occasionally God will let us kind of peep over and catch a glimpse of His glory. We're not always on the mountain, and we're not always in the glory. But I want to say, when we get a little taste of glory, we better rejoice in it.
Amen.
And we better enjoy it. For it may be a while before that glory comes back our way. And the glory of God is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It truly is. And so here that light is a light that reveals and unfolds real glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Light is an emblem of God's own nature, because the Bible said in 1 John 1:5 that God is light. And so it's an emblem of God's own nature. Light unites in itself purity and cleanness and beauty and glory as no other material object does. It is the condition of all material life and growth and joy. He is the light and the fountain of light material and light ethical. In one world, darkness is the absence of light, and in the other world, darkness and untruthfulness, deceit and foolishness is and falsehood is the absence of Almighty God. But I want to try to preach for a little while tonight, if I can, on these things that God's given me. On the vesture of God's revelation. Exactly what does this light of God reveal to you and I as fallen humanity? You know, that's a subject that ought to occasion the heart of everyone in here tonight. We all ought to be concerned and interested about how God reveals Himself to fallen man. As far as I know, there's not a man ever been born that's not out of the loins of Adam, and is a sinner. And it certainly should interest you and I to know tonight just exactly how God reveals Himself to you and I. I want to say, first of all, that this light that is referred to here in our text reveals God's salvation. Now, that's a wonderful thing, that the vesture of God's garment, the vesture of light, the light that He's clothed with, first and foremost, reveals to you and I the great salvation of our God. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's a marvelous thing. The first thing God ever created was light. That's a wonderful thing. And that is, if you stop and think about it. And God, in the very beginning, even in the creation, began to try to reveal Himself and reveal His salvation to you and I, His fallen creatures. And I got to thinking about that light, and of course I thought about the Apostle Paul as he journeyed on the road to Damascus.
Amen.
And if you'll let me tonight, go with me down that road toward Damascus with a man that the Bible says is a very religious man. He is a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He's got great religion, but he doesn't know God.
Yep.
He knows about God, but he doesn't know God. He studied about God, but he doesn't know God. He's been to the synagogue where the scriptures have been read that tells about God, but yet he does not know God. And as Paul journeyed on that road to Damascus, the Bible said that he came near to Damascus. He was going with letters that he might bring men and women that believed in the Lord Jesus back to Jerusalem and imprison them or put them to death. And as he journeyed down this road toward Damascus, the Bible said, "And suddenly there shined round about him," and here's the light, here's the thought now, "a light from heaven."
Amen.
I want you to get hold of that. "There shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, I just told you the Bible says that God is light.
Amen.
And there shined round about him a light from heaven. That light suddenly emerged from simply out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It just came out of nowhere. He said, suddenly there shined a light from heaven, a bright light. There shined a light from heaven round about me. In other words, it came upon him very suddenly. And it emerged from simply out of nowhere. You know, I don't believe any one of us in here could fully explain the first encounter that we ever had with God and tell it properly. Brother Paul, everywhere he went in the world, he testified of the grace of God. And he told that story over and over again about how he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and what God had done for him on the road to Damascus. And you know, that story was so amazing that even some that he encountered said that Paul was mad, said that he was mad, that he was insane because of the testimony that he gave of the grace of God. And I don't believe there's anybody here tonight that can fully explain our first encounter with God. All we can do is simply tell what happened to us.
Yeah.
And it ought to be a joy and a blessing. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And it ought to be a real joy in our heart to be able to stand and tell what God has done for us. And the way God done it for me may not have done it that way for you or for someone else. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, there's one thing about it. That light has shined upon you one way or another, as it did upon the Apostle Paul. Now, I wrote this down. I said it was so amazing, that grace was so amazing, that many people felt that Paul was just simply insane. And our first encounter with God is inexplainable. I don't really know, and Paul didn't know where God came from or where he went to. The Bible said the light suddenly shined upon him. It came out of nowhere, and then it went somewhere, but he didn't know where. And it's kind of like the wind in John 3. The Bible said in John 3, Jesus said that the wind bloweth where it listeth. Said man can hear the sound thereof, but he cannot tell whither it cometh nor whither it goeth. And so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Now, I want to say to you on my own testimony that the day that I was saved by the grace of God, I had no earthly idea that God was going to save me on that day. I'd venture to say, as Paul journeyed down that road to Damascus, the very least thing that was upon his mind was meeting Christ and being saved by the grace of God. He wasn't thinking about that, but it happened so suddenly it overwhelmed him. I won't say the day that I got saved, I don't know where God came from, I don't know where God went to, but I do know that God came by my way. Hey, and I was totally immersed in that light that shined round about me. It came upon me suddenly. It immersed me suddenly and came upon me that way. And I knew it was there, but I didn't know where it came from and I didn't know where it went to. And so it is with the Apostle Paul. So it is with the Apostle Paul. Now, listen carefully what Brother Hall is going to say, okay? I want to say that light not only emerged from nowhere, but that light enveloped Paul. That is, the Bible said that it shined round about him. That light was round about him. It left no part of his being without light. I wrote down in my notes that the light, which is God without a doubt, settled in all around and all upon the Apostle Paul. You realize when you got saved by the grace of God, God is light, and God Himself settled in all around and all about you on that wonderful day. How marvelous that really is. I'm telling you, that ought to be a blessing to our soul. And the thought of it there is that light that shines round about upon us and fully envelops us, that is a picture of our complete salvation.
Amen.
I'm glad that when man is saved, he is completely saved.
Amen.
The Bible said in the book of Colossians that we are complete in him.
Yeah.
we are complete in Him. That day when that light shined upon Paul, there wasn't a thing lacking in his heart because God settled in upon him. Can you get a hold of that tonight? When you got saved by the grace of God, God settled in all round about you with that marvelous light. And that light has been leading us ever since that wonderful day. Oh, glory to God. Blessed be His wonderful name. That's right. Thank God. Oh, the light settled in on Paul and he wasn't the same from that day on.
Amen.
It totally changed him. It revolutionized his life. He went from Paul to Saul, or that Saul to Paul just that quickly. Suddenly that light transformed him into a creature of that light. He was a creature of darkness. But when that light from heaven shined round about him, he became a child of the light. Hallelujah. And if we walk in the light as God is in the light, the Bible said there is none occasion of stumbling in us. Bless His wonderful name. So that light emerged from out of nowhere. It came upon him suddenly. And it fully enveloped Paul. The Bible said that it shined round about him. That is, it saved his entire being, his mind, his soul, and his spirit, his body. Everything about him was saved that day by the glorious grace of God.
Amen.
Then I want to say that light affected Paul. In verse number 4, the Bible said that he fell to the earth.
Yes.
And I believe he fell to the earth in humility and fear and obedience. May I say to you those are three ingredients
Amen.
That I believe are missing in many conversions of today. People profess to be saved, but there's not much humility in their life.
Amen.
And there's not much fear of the Lord in their life.
Amen.
And there's really not much obedience in their life.
Amen.
Hallelujah, that's exactly right. When that light shined round about Paul, he didn't jump up and down and shout hallelujah. The Bible said that he fell down upon the ground. And I'll tell you why. He fell down in humility. Paul knew that the Lord was there in his presence, that a divine being had come into his presence. And in humility, the Bible said that he fell on the ground. And the Bible said in fear and trembling, he was in fear and trembling. I know that he feared the Lord. You know, there's very little fear of God today.
Amen.
If we feared God the way that we say, the Bible says we ought to, we'd change our lives tremendously.
Amen.
You better believe we would. There's not much fear of God in America anymore. Not much fear of the Lord in our churches.
Amen.
You know what we're saying in our heart? We're saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the days of old, He's been talking about it, but He's not got here yet. But I want to say to you on the authority of the Word of God, hang on, He's coming. He is on His way. And if He's not on His way here, I can guarantee you one thing, we are on our way there. Because it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Amen, that's right, He's coming. He is coming. And that light affected Paul. He fell down on the earth in humility and fear. Then obedience. And then the Bible said in verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? And so Paul fell down trembling, and God affected him that day. God affected him, and then God enlightened him on that day.
Amen.
He was enlightened by the glory of God. That garment of God's light.
Yes.
That garment of God's wonderful light. Said, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I want you to notice how suddenly the light and direction, the light changed the direction of Paul's life.
Right.
Lord, what would thou have me to do?
Amen.
Go into the city, Paul. Then it'll be shown unto thee in there what thou must do. Folks, it didn't take him 6 years to become obedient to the Word of God. When God said, arise and go into the city, Paul got up and was led into the city by those around him. He didn't tarry for one moment. He didn't stand in disobedience for one moment. As suddenly as he got saved, he became obedient. I won't run that by you again. As suddenly as that light fell upon him, Paul became obedient to the Word of God. Lord, what will thou have me to do? He wasn't stubborn. He wasn't rebellious. He wasn't disobedient. He was ready to do whatever God wanted him to do. I want to ask you that question tonight. Are you and I ready to do whatever God wants us to do in these last days? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Are we as ready as what Paul was? Or are we dragging our feet? Are we settled on our knees? Are we living in a state of apathy and lethargy? Are we living in a state of lukewarmness or cold-heartedness? Are we ready to do the absolute perfect will of God today and be obedient to what God tells us? I'm simply saying, as suddenly as Paul got saved, he became obedient to the Word of God. Didn't take him long to do that either. Not like a lot of folk today. A lot of folk today stand disobedient to the Bible in many ways, and I'll not take time to go into all those, but they stand disobedient in many ways to the Word of God. And yet they claim to be saved by God's marvelous grace. And yet, many that claim to be saved and have encountered that light yet appear to be walking in darkness. The Bible said if you're saved by the grace of God and hate your brother, you're in darkness until now.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Come on now. It's time we made right.
Amen.
Things that have been wrong.
Amen.
In our lives and with one another.
Amen.
If we expect to be classified among those that are redeemed of the Lord.
Amen.
By those around us, we're going to have to meet up to the standards of the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right. And so that light immersed from out of nowhere. It just suddenly came upon him. It enveloped Paul. It shined round about him. And then it affected Paul. He fell to the earth in obedience and fear and humility. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord gave him instructions, being enlightening him to go into the city. Then I want to say secondly, that the light not only, this vesture, God's vesture of light, not only reveals God's salvation, but I won't say that light reveals God's Son.
Amen.
Now, I marvel at that. How that same light, and I want to read this passage of Scripture to you in Matthew chapter 17 in verse 1. It said, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now there it is. His raiment, his clothing, was as white as the light. Isn't that what I said back in our text earlier a while ago? That who coverest thyself with light as with a garment? The Bible said here that he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and was sore afraid.
Amen.
So I say that light revealed the Son. And I think you'll get my thought if you'll bear with me here just for a minute. It is in this story that Jesus has chosen to reveal himself in his glory. Hang with me. In most of his earthly ministry, He is seen in its humiliation. When I say in its humiliation, I'm talking about things like Gethsemane. I'm talking about things like being betrayed by Judas. I'm referring to things such as being whipped by those that his own creatures. I'm referring to the fact that his own creatures crucified him and spat in his face, smote him with a reed in the face, and yet him being the Son of God did nothing about that. He was revealing his humanity. He was revealing his humiliation. I don't think that we've ever gotten a hold of the fact that Hallett had to humiliate God to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody listening tonight? But it's here in this story that Jesus chooses to reveal himself in his glory. Most of his earthly ministry is seen in his humiliation. But here he is transfigured and is revealed to Peter, James, and John as the glorious Son of God. Now I want you to notice, and I hope I get to something here in a minute for you. I want you to notice, first of all, the place where this revelation took place, or this transfiguration. The place, the Bible said, was on top of a mountain. It was apart from all others. The Lord took Peter, James, and John, three men, upon a mountain. And there was transfigured before them. And the Bible said that his face did shine as bright as the sun. And his clothing, his raiment, was as white as was the light. And there appeared talking to him Moses and Elijah. Now I find it a strange thing that Peter knew both of them. He had never laid eyes on either one of those men, but he knew both of them. Somebody said, "Well, we know one another in heaven." Peter certainly knew Moses and Elijah without a doubt. But that place is on top of a mountain. Now, no, I'm going somewhere with this. It was a secret place on top of that mountain, apart from everybody else. Apart from everybody else. Hey, privacy, ladies and gentlemen, much befriends our communion with God. And those who would maintain intercourse with heaven must frequently withdraw themselves from the business of this world and retire to a quiet place alone with God. That's exactly, Jesus chose that spot to reveal himself to Peter, James, and John. And why he only took those three is beyond me. But that's all he took up there. They seemed to be the chosen three out of the 12. And he took them up on that mountain apart from everybody else. In a secret place above, away from everybody else. And there transfigured himself in their presence and revealed to them the fact that he was not only the Son of God in humanity, but he was very God himself, and revealed to them that very glory of God that shined round about him. Amen. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Now, I want to say without a bit of a doubt, if you and I today want that communion with heaven like we're supposed to have, we're going to have to withdraw ourselves occasionally from the business of this world. Now, I realize as people that work and in the society we're in, for many that may be hard to do. But I'm telling you, for others it would be an easy thing to do. What I'm simply saying is that we're not going to know much about Christ without being alone with Christ. Thank God for public worship. When we can come to the house of God and enjoy the singing, enjoy the fellowship, get in the Word of God, try to learn something from the Bible. But I'm telling you, some of the most wonderful times you'll ever have in your life is in a secret place alone with no one there but you and God. Isn't it a wonderful thing that when God got ready to use Elijah, he didn't set him in the midst of the people. No, he took him down to the brook Cherith. and said, "Hit him. Go hide thyself by the brook Cherith." It was there that the ravens brought him bread and flesh, and in the evening drank the water of the brook. There was no one there but him and God, all alone. And I believe it was there that God revealed to him that power and that grace and that glory that it was going to take to stand, ladies and gentlemen, against the Baal worshipers and against the devil and against sin that was prevalent in the days of Elijah. Now I want to say to you and I, without getting in that secret place, that place alone with Almighty God, we're not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're not going to be able to stand against the sin that's in this world today. We're not going to be able to fight the temptation that is in this world today that tugs at our flesh and tugs at our mind and tugs at our life every hour of the day that we're alive. We're not going to be able to take it unless we find that alone time with Almighty God in that secret place. Alone with nobody with him. There wasn't nobody else on that mountain. I don't know how high they were up. That mountain may have been cold. There may have been snow on it. But it says, I don't know what mountain it was. But he took them up into that high mountain place. And there to retire with them in a quiet place alone with him. Now notice secondly, it was not only a secret place, but it was a sublime place. That it was high and lofty. The Bible said that it was a mountain. A place high above all those things below. And those that would have a transforming fellowship with God must not only retire, but they must also ascend. Now come on in the house. I'm going to show you something. You can't only get in that secret place alone and retire along with God, but he got them up on that elevated place where they, in the place where they had ascended to, high above everything else. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying those that really want fellowship with God, if we really want to have communion with the Holy Ghost of God, we're going to have to retire to that secret place, and then we're going to have to lift our hearts up and set our heart and our mind on those things which are above. And not those things which are below. I'm afraid many of us is reaching too low. We need to reach a little higher. Get in that secret place and that elevated place. Get up on that mountaintop. Now I've got enough sense to know you can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. But I've also got enough sense to know that a glimpse of His glory has to come occasionally. And it was on that mountaintop that he was transfigured. It was there that they realized that he was the Son of God, both in heaven and on earth. They saw him more than in his humiliation. They saw him in his glorification. Boy, I'll tell you, that ought to rejoice our hearts today. To know that God took three witnesses. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And Jesus told him going back down that mountain, said, "See that you tell no man about this now." Now I wonder how they kept that quiet. It'd be a hard thing for me to keep quiet. If God had revealed himself to me in such a glorious way, that he was transfigured in my presence, and I saw that face that shined as bright as the sun, and his clothing, his raiment, was as bright as the light. Hey, that light is an emblem of God. And Peter, James, and John had to know that they were in the very presence of Almighty God. No wonder they fell down trembling under that cloud that overshadowed them. They fell down out of fear. They knew they were in the presence of God. Now I want to ask you something. Has he ever revealed himself to you in a transforming way as the Son of God?
Amen.
Not just dying on a cross. Thank God for the cross. I'm grateful for Calvary. Without the cross, no man would be saved.
Amen.
Without Calvary, we'd all be dead in our sins and on our way to a crossless eternity.
Amen.
But oh, for the cross. The cross, where I first saw the light.
Yes.
Thank God for Calvary. I'm glad that one day I saw Him by faith dying in my place on Mount Calvary. He opened my blinded eyes and let the glorious light of the liberty of the children of God shine forth into my heart. And I bless His wonderful name for that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad too that there's been times that He's let me get up on the mountain and catch a glimpse of His glory. Now I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to listen carefully. I'm going somewhere with this. Peter was crucified upside down, is what we're told. James was slain by Herod with a sword. And they said that dear brother John was the first fellow that was ever boiled in oil. But even that couldn't kill him. Now somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that those occasions that God gives us on the mountain when He reveals Himself to us in His glory, we better tuck those away in our heart, because that's going to prepare us for those times that are going to come later when there's going to come suffering and sorrow within our life. Now, I'll tell you, that's a great time of preparation, folks. If God gives us those times that we can fall back on, amen, and find comfort in and stability in for our life during those times. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost a price. We're going to have to pay a price if we want to get on that mountain. I'm going to tell you, the salvation's free, but the mountain's going to cost you something. Two of those men, their mother asked Jesus, said, one of them sat at my right hand, the other at my left hand in my glory. And He said, you don't know what you're asking. Can they be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? Can they drink from the cup that I'm drinking from? And they said, we can. Amen. And Jesus said, not only you can, but you will. But to sit on my right hand and my left hand is not mine, but my Father's to choose. Though two of those men were in that spiritual state, and God carried them up yonder on that mountain. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying they had to pay a price.
Amen.
They had to, that's right. They had to take time out of their day.
Yep.
And if you went on that mountain, we're going to have to learn, even in a hard day's job, somehow, some way, take time out of our day to retire to that secret place. That, and then that elevated place, and lift our hearts up before God. And seek those things which are above, where Jesus sits on the right hand of the throne of God. Well, I marvel when about dear brother, our deacon that was stoned to death. Stephen, when he was stoned, the Bible said Stephen, looking up into heaven,
amen,
saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the throne of God.
Yes,
what are you saying, Brother Hall? Oh, he was stoned. Somebody said, he just died, Brother Hall.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But I'm going to tell you, before he died, he had to pay a price.
Amen.
I wonder if we got that kind of... I can just put it down in good old country, bro. Kentucky, bro. I wonder if we've got the guts that Stephen had to take the stand that Stephen took and pay the price that Stephen paid, that we might see the glory of God when we leave this place. But I'm going to tell you, there's a price to be paid. Look at Paul. Paul was caught up into the third heaven and saw things that were unlawful, heard things that are unlawful, even repeat on this earth. God gave him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. But it was that thorn in the flesh that caused Paul to realize that in his own weakness was he made strong. Now I'm going to tell you, our problem today is that in our own strength, we're made strong. But I'm telling you, far from being right.
Amen.
In our own weakness, we are made strong by Him. He is our strength.
Amen.
It's time that we learn that we're nothing.
Amen.
And we have nothing to offer Him.
nothing to give him, but he has all to give to you and I. And if we'll pay the price and give all to God, God will give all to you and I, ladies and gentlemen. I assure you that he'll give his all to us. We'll give his all to him. There's no question about that. And so there was the place on that mountain, and there was the not only the place, on top of that mountain, a secret place and a sublime place. But what about the people that was on that mountain? His own disciples, Peter, James, and John, amen, who seemed to be the chosen ones. And a glimpse of God's glory while in this world seems to help you and I, as I've said a minute ago, to prepare us for the suffering and for the sorrow that we must face in life's journey.
Amen.
And it's going to be there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes,
I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day in the life of everybody in here. We may shrug off what I'm saying tonight as amounting to nothing, but there will come a day of everyone that's sitting in here tonight. Every one of us, that we're going to wish that we'd have had more of God while we was in this life. Amen. That we were closer to Him and had more communion with Him and fellowship with Him than what we have. We're tinkering around with this and that. Our teenagers have learned to sit around and push buttons on telephones and lay on computers, and that's about all we know to do. When we need to be seeking God,
amen,
the power of God and the filling of God.
Yes.
Just like I said and read in that thing a minute ago, Dr. R.G. Lee wrote that thing about prayer years ago before his death.
Yes.
And years ago, R.G. Lee saw that Wednesday night prayer meeting was a thing of the past.
Yes.
That it was dead in America, dead in our churches. I'm going to tell you, prayer meeting and prayer of almost any kind is dead in our homes and dead in our churches anymore. Can't get people to pray anymore. They don't have time to pray. You better take time to pray and make time to pray.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I've thought about making Wednesday night nothing but prayer meeting.
Amen.
I don't know how people would take that. Some of you would probably stay home. I don't doubt that a bit. But if you could stay home, probably be better off. We'd be better off if you would.
Amen.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
We need to get there, church.
Amen.
We're living in the last of the last days.
Amen.
And as far as I know, we're living in maybe the last two decades of many, many people that have never seen, and I don't mean in reality, but have never seen what Peter, James, and John saw in chapter 17. They've never seen that glorious light that clothed Almighty God.
Yes.
The vesture of His light was not a light that man could not approach to, but it was a light, thank God, that approached unto man. Hallelujah to God. When we could not get to the light, thank God the light came to where we were. When we couldn't approach Him, I'm glad that He approached us. Hallelujah. And shed His own blood and made it possible that we might approach Him. Glory to God. Only by the blood can we approach unto Almighty God. It's only by the blood. You better believe that's right. And that blood leads in behind a veil. And thank God there's an anchor behind that veil that is both steadfast and sure. Praise God. I'm glad I'm chained down tight and secure. I don't intend to drift off and go anywhere. I've done been too far down this journey to turn back now. I plan on going on with God. Amen. Then I want to say not only the place and not only the people, but the power. I want you to get a hold of this. The power that He revealed as the Son of God.
Amen.
Listen carefully what I'm saying. He was transfigured before them, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was as white as the light.
Amen.
In the days of His flesh, oh, I marvel at this. In the days of His flesh, He took on the form of a servant. That's what Paul said in the book of Philippians. That he took upon himself the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of sinful man. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in the days of his flesh, he took on him the form of a servant. He drew, as it was, the veil over the glory of the Godhead. Can you get a hold of that? In his humiliation, Christ drew the veil over the Godhead. And all that was seen was his humiliation, his humanity. But oh, glory to his wonderful name. On that mountaintop that day, he pulled back the veil.
Yes.
What a wonderful day when God pulls back the veil.
Yes.
And lets fallen creatures like you and I catch a glimpse of the glory of the face of Almighty God.
Amen.
Oh, what a blessing. That's right. He covered up that Godhead and died with that cover. But I'm telling you, on that mountaintop that day, he pulled that veil back and revealed the glory of God to those men. The fact that he was indeed the very Son of Almighty God. Now you listen carefully what I'm getting ready to say. He drew the veil over the glory of the Godhead. But now in his transfiguration, he laid aside the veil and appears in the form of God. That's right. Now listen what the Bible said. The Bible said God is light.
Amen.
In 1 John 1:5. He dwells in the light. 1 Timothy 6:16. The Bible said he causes himself covers himself in light. That's in our text, Psalm 104, verse 2. And therefore, when Christ would appear in his glory, revealing his power, that is, he appeared in light, the most glorious of all visible beings.
Amen.
That light was bright. His raiment glistened. One of the gospels said it was white and glistening.
Yep.
Oh, it was a brilliant white. That light was a brilliant white. Those men had never seen anything like that. They're always hollering about what Peter said and stuck his foot in his mouth. I wonder what you and I'd have done. I want to say this, and I say this probably in a carnal way. I'd have loved to have been on that mountain that day. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Seen Jesus in his glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Knowing that he was faith and death as a man, but yet he was God.
Yep.
That amazes me when I stop and think about it. When he died on the cross, have you ever stopped and considered or even given any thought to what may have been running through the mind of Peter, James, and John? When he died and was buried, have you ever thought what may be running through their mind? Well, he's dead, Peter. Well, I know that, James. But hey, you remember that day and a while back when on that mountaintop, he showed us his power and his glory. And he's given us full confidence in the fact that he'll come out of that grave and adored himself in all the glory of Almighty God one more time. And reveal himself and his power to us one more time. Therefore, don't worry, John. John may have said, don't worry, gentlemen. He'll get up. I'll tell you, he did get up. Thank God. And when he come up out of that grave, he was like he was on that mountain, glorified in his body. Oh, yes, you better believe it. What a great God we have. Hallelujah. In his humility, he just veiled himself and hid the Godhead, but not that day. He said, come on up on this mountain, fellas. I want you to get a look at what I'm going to be like in heaven. What you're going to see when you get to glory in the Son of God. Now, stay right with me. I want you to notice a cloud in verse number 5. The Bible said it was a bright cloud. Boy, I love this. It wasn't a dark cloud. Do you remember the story on Mount Sinai? When a cloud came down and God spoke to him out of a cloud, he spoke to him as it was out of a dark cloud, representing the law. And the law was given to them in fear and trembling. And out of that mountain that was on fire, and out of that cloud that settled in on that mountain, God spoke in such a way that the people of Israel told Moses, you talk to God. Don't let God talk to us anymore. It's more than we can bear. When Moses came off of that mountain, he was in such glory that he pulled a veil. Are you listening now? He pulled a veil down over his face. That the people, because the people could not stand to look upon his face.
Amen.
Look at that glory on his face. He would talk to God. He took the veil off. And when he talked to Israel, he put the veil down. And the Bible said that veil is still upon Israel today.
Yeah.
They can't see through that veil. They can't see through that veil to see Jesus as their Messiah. Amen. That's right. That cloud settled in on them. And it wasn't a dark cloud as it was on Mount Sinai. Oh no. The Bible says very clearly that a bright cloud overshadowed them. Not a cloud that revealed the law, but a cloud that revealed grace. Oh, Lord, don't get me on grace. A cloud that revealed the grace of God to them. Like Dr. Sattler said in there today, that grace that loves unlovely sinners. That grace that lifts unlovely sinners. That grace that gives to unlovely sinners that which they do not deserve. But God gave it to you and I. And that cloud wasn't a dark cloud. It was a bright cloud of the grace of God. And the dispensation of grace was here, ladies and gentlemen. And get this. That bright cloud settled in over Peter, James, and John. God help us tonight. That bright cloud of grace just settled in all over. Now, that cloud of grace that settled in all over them, I'm sure, now don't leave me now, is a very type of that veil that was over Moses' face. That's right. Because it separated them from God.
Amen.
They no longer could see the brightness of His glory, but they could hear His voice. Aren't you glad we're not saved by sight?
Yep.
We're saved by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, yes. And that cloud served as a veil. That cloud overshadowed them, and it was intended to be as a veil, like Moses used to cover on his face of the glory from Israel and covered the glory from Israel without that veil. Hey, without that veil, are you listening now? Without that veil over the face of Peter, James, and John, the glory of Christ in His transfiguration would have overwhelmed them and overturned them. I'll tell you, no man can look directly into that light as bright as it is and live. It's an impossibility. That's how bright that light is. He is light. We can get a hold of that God is light. That's how bright that light was that He clothed Himself in a vesture of light that man could approach to. And it was out of that light that God began to reveal Himself to fallen humanity.
Yep.
What a great God that we have.
Yep.
It was there that He revealed Himself to Peter, James, and John.
Amen.
Now, stay right with me. This light also reveals man's steps. And I'm closing right here. Not only reveals the salvation of the Lord, and not only reveals God's Son, but it reveals our steps. Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Well, when Israel came out of bondage, and they got to the Red Sea, and the Bible said, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way
and by night in a pillar of fire. Here it is, to give them light.
Amen.
To go by the way, to go by day and night. Now, if you get a hold of that, there he is once again in that light. Covered in white, a vesture of light, and covered in it. Only now, he's leading the people of God.
Amen.
You realize that the Bible says the good steps, the steps of a good man, are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
And he delighteth in his way.
Yeah.
Oh, I've thought about that so many times, and I've always thought that that verse of Scripture, when it said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way, I always thought that he delighteth in his way. We're talking about God delighting in our way. That's not what it means. It means man delighting in his way.
Right.
We're delighted to walk in the way of God. Oh,
amen.
Yes, sir. In order to delight. And hey, and to know that that pillar of fire leads us and gives us light along the way.
Right.
And takes us step by step through this life. Now, I want to ask you a question. I want to say this first. That light led them into God's will.
Amen.
Now you listen while I'm getting ready, and I hope it's a help some of you.
Oh.
That light led them in God's will, because all they had to do. I've heard people say, "Preacher, I don't know the will of God. How can I find the will of God? What's the will of God for my life?" I've heard that all these years that I've been preaching. What is the will of God for my life? Can I say to you on the authority of the Word of God, if you want in the will of God, follow the light!
Amen.
When it moves, moves. When it stops, stop. Just follow the light!
Right.
Not that hard to find the will of God.
That's right. By the word.
You follow the light.
Amen.
When God stopped, they stopped.
Amen.
When God moved, they moved. Not hard to find the will of God. He led them in the way. Yeah, and I want to ask this. I wonder if it was possible. And I'm just throwing this out now. I don't know. This is something to chew on. You know when they come to Kadesh? And God told them to send out the spies and they were to go over into Canaan land from Kadesh Barnea. The Bible said they did not cross over, because they were afraid of the giants that were on the other side. Now, I wondered about this. I wonder if the light ever crossed over. Because I'm telling you, when they come to Jordan 40 years later, the light didn't lead them over. It was the Ark of the Covenant of God.
Amen.
And when those priests set their feet in the water, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off and rose up, and they went across on dry land.
Yes.
Now, I've often wondered if that light went over into the Canaan land and they refused to follow that light. It's possible. It's possible that God went over at Kadesh and they wouldn't follow Him.
Amen.
You know, when they come to that, and I've often thought about this, Brother Bill. I thought about this today and that today. I thought about this. I wonder when they come to the Jordan and the priest, the Ark of the Covenant, made the way across for them. I wonder if somehow that pillar of light, that pillar of fire or cloud, led them all the way up to the water and then disappeared and the Ark took over. Because there's nothing said about that light over there. Not one word said about that light leading them over the Jordan River. It was the Ark of the Covenant of God. And here's what I believe. They no longer had to believe in what they saw, but to get over into Canaan, they had to believe what they had heard that was inside that ark. The law was in there. God's word was in there. They're no longer living off what they see. They're living off of what they hear.
Amen.
I've often wondered if that ain't right. I might be wrong, but I don't believe I am. I've never heard anybody else come up with anything any better.
That's pretty good.
So I'll say I'm right. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to say, and I'm closing here.
Amen,
Oh, by the way, I said that light led him in God's will. I want to give you this real quick. That light led him in God's will. Now somebody said, well, you mean God just treats us like a robot? Just wherever he goes, that's where we're supposed to go. Have you never read where he said, that does not the potter have power over the clay? Yes. Certainly does. Yes. Now I'm going to tell you, God's got the power over you and I. He's the potter. We're the clay, ladies and gentlemen. All he's got to do is say what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to grumble, murmur, complain about it. We're just supposed to do it. It oughtn't to take 6 years or 10 years to do it either.
Amen.
Now stay right with me. Then I want to say this light led them in God's way. Now, they didn't like that way. They come by the way of Mount Hor.
Yeah, right.
The Bible said that they were discouraged because of the way.
Amen.
You know why they were? That's the second time they'd been around that loop. They're probably thinking, hey, we've done been this way once before. Why are we coming this way again? Well, apparently there was something they had never learned that they needed to learn there.
Amen.
They wasn't fully ready to go into Canaan.
Amen.
God had to take them around on that second trip around Mount Hor, that rocky place. They got discouraged in the way because they'd already been there before. Oh, and I'm telling you, Baptists are the world's worst.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? They don't like to have to do things over.
Yeah.
We like to keep going on to a plateau. But I'm here to tell you, hey, if that light never leads you,
amen,
if that light is never glorified to you,
come on,
if that light never covers you as it did Paul,
yeah,
I'll guarantee you one thing. You'll go nowhere else with God.
Amen.
You'll either walk in that light as it leads you, or you won't go. You'll go in circles like a dog chasing his tail.
Amen.
That's right. And the sad thing of it is, if we miss God, we'll have to go right back to where we got off the track and get on it again. I just marvel at how God had a vesture of light.
Amen.
And that light became a vesture of his revelation. How he revealed his salvation, his son, and the steps that you and I are to walk in as we follow him in this life. Let's stand together.